47. The next few days confused Weigert. The 60 Minutes film crew would arrive on Friday. Julian said they wanted to run the reality check story on Sunday. Strike while the iron is hot. George assumed that he and Julian and Kara would just sit somewhere with an interviewer and talk, but it was not like that at all. People from the show arrived immediately to take establishing shots and create graphics. Julian rehearsed Weigert in how much to say and how to say it, both of which Weigert resented. He knew his own theory, and the theory could stand on its own, without the polished gestures and dramatic pauses that Julian wanted. Then Julian got busy with refining the format, and Weigert blew out a long breath of relief. Until he discovered that Julian had imported a drama coach to take his place. Stephanie O'Malley seemed to be everywhere, and, in Weigert's opinion, she did not act like someone who had just received the greatest gift of science. She made bawdy jokes while smoking cigarettes and drinking an astonishing amount of scotch. "She's probably different when she's alone," Caroline told him. To her, what she experienced in session is an intensely private revelation,
which she's going to talk about in public to millions of people.
Caroline laughed and punched him playfully on the shoulder. Weigert was, confusingly, all at once reminded of Sam. He sought refuge in a session with Rose. The moment he saw her standing in their living room, Weigert felt calmer. Behind her on the mantelpiece stood her mother's collection of Victorian bric-a-brac. Drawn up to the fire was his deep leather club chair, and beside it, the little carved table his uncle had brought from India 100 years ago. Peonies from the garden scented the air. Rose, in his favorite blue dress, smiled and said,
"You look troubled, my darling. What's wrong?"
He told her, at length. She listened with the patience she'd always shown him, and the pragmatic shrewdness that never turned vituperative.
"George, the telly show will be fine.
And your book is the true rebuttal to all this sensationalizing. Wait and see."
"How long?"
She threw up her pretty hands in mock exasperation.
"Do I look like the oracle at Delphi?"
She looked like Rose. He put his arms around her, smelled her hair, and was comforted amid the chaos.
"George," Julian said, closing the door to the security office. "I have Hannah Kaplow on video. She has both good and bad news and wants us to hear it together."
Agent Kaplow's image on the screen said, "Hello, Dr. Weigert. The good news is that we arrested a suspect in Benjamin Clarby's murder. That email sent by his girlfriend cracked the case for us. The suspect was charged and has confessed as part of a plea bargain."
"Wonderful," Weigert said.
"The bad news is that he's just a lower-level freelance, a mercenary, basically. All arrangements were made anonymously. The freelance can't lead us to whoever hired him because he doesn't know. But that he was hired establishes that this is a criminal enterprise. I have a task force on this, and eventually we'll trace the ringleaders and arrest them all under the RICO statutes. It might or might not be alternate mayhem, of course."
Julian said, "But you're betting that it is."
"Yes, I am. And before you ask, no, we haven't succeeded yet in taking down their websites. They move too fast, and the source seems to be out of the country. As to who else it might be, we have some candidates in mind, but no definitive answers. I'll tell you when we do."
Julian said,
"Thanks, Hannah."
Her expression changed.
"I understand, Dr. Weigert, that your book is selling extremely well. You must be pleased."
"Yes," Weigert said carefully, trying not to show his resentment that sales were due to murder rather than to science.
"It is."
The Friday taping of 60 Minutes took place in the session room, which had been transformed with huge pieces of camera and sound equipment, dozens of strangers intently focused on tasks baffling to Weigert, and a huge screen to show graphics. Comfortable chairs,
which Weigert had never seen before, stood on a hastily constructed stage. Telly people told him where to look, when, the drama coach sitting anxiously to one side. All was bustle and rushing and shouted orders until suddenly there descended a consensual silence, profound as a cathedral, and the taping began. Weigert thought the taping went well, although he recognized that he had nothing with which to compare it. Afterward, the entire TV crew and all their equipment vanished as rapidly as they'd appeared.
"Going to be a tight post-production for them to air it on Sunday," Ms. O'Malley said as she, too, left the compound. "I'm off to Venezuela. Another revolution brewing. Not that you won't have one here, too. Bye, kids."
It was like a whirlwind leaving town. Caroline took Weigert aside.
"George, don't be too upset if they edit out some of the science. The—
Edit it out?
Maybe they won't. I just want to warn you. 60 Minutes does much better with complex subjects than nearly any other show on TV, but it is TV for a mass audience. We'll have to wait and see."
Something else to worry about. When Weigert was small, his father had been assigned to temporary duty with the British Embassy in Washington, and the family had moved to a house in suburban Virginia. The house had a backyard deck. 5-year-old Georgie had been fascinated by the sliding glass door, so different from the small, heat-saving windows in their century-old English house. The wide expanse of glass miraculously brought the outside inside. But he cried whenever a bird flew straight into the window and knocked itself out, its compact little body inert and glassy-eyed on the wooden deck. On Sunday night, waiting for 60 Minutes to start, Weigert felt like that bird, soaring on the success of his book and a cautious but definite interest from scientists he respected. He'd smashed directly into all the sensationalistic hoopla. Also into an avalanche of email with stupid questions from believers in materialism, that doctrine taken on just as much faith as any religion, that nothing existed except tangible matter and its interactions. No, not stupid questions. That wasn't fair. Rose had said as much during his last session with her. She'd pointed out that he hadn't objected to the same questions when Caroline had asked them so many months ago. In fact, he'd welcomed them. "So, my darling, what's different now?"
"Everything,
including the fact that Weigert knew, although they'd never discussed it, that he hadn't succeeded in completely convincing Caroline either." An hour before 60 Minutes aired, people began gathering in the refectory where Julian had set up a huge rented screen. James's staff brought extra chairs from conference rooms, bedrooms, the hospital. Everyone crowded in except the two techs, unhappily monitoring the security office. The all-important show began.